Well, good morning. Good morning. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair, beginning the first full week of June. Today is June 4th, and the year is 2018, and it's the day after the Northfield High School class of 2018 graduated. Well, I was listening to the broadcast live on KYMN Radio, and I'll have to tell you, those speeches were excellent. The student that gave the speech, at least one of them that I recall, was fantastic, and the sound was perfect on KYMN Radio. And I like the fact that, once again, I think the superintendent of schools announced, please hold your applause until all graduates are mentioned. And, of course, the first couple, there's a little nothing, and then pretty soon, and by the time they got to the B's, they do it alphabetically, they were yelling and screaming and, you know, and they don't want people to do that so that one person or two or nine or 50 don't feel bad when they don't get a loud scream. But, of course, people that have a big family and they're all there at the graduation, they want to yell and scream. And then some are just happy that they're out of high school. Speaking about high school in Northfield, I have a 1994 graduate from Northfield High School in studio with me, and her name is Margot Jackson. And Margot, thank you for joining me this morning on KYMN Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And did you go to the graduation yesterday?
I did. My nephew Colton Swartwood was graduating.
Oh, you had to wait a while before you mentioned his name.
Yes.
Okay. Well, did you yell and scream and stomp your feet?
I yelled but did not scream or stomp.
Well, I know the year that you got out of high school, mm-hmm. 1994. So I'm going to ask you a question and see if you can remember who Uh-oh. Gave the commencement speech for the class of 1994.
I don't remember. It was a blur that day.
Well, it was an excellent speaker.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very successful Northfield man. And that's when they were still doing it by way of a parent of a member of the okay. classes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They stopped that tradition later on, I don't know when, but okay. they used to have the students select a parent that would then give the speech, and a lot of them were very good, mm-hmm. and a lot of them were very scared, most of them, and some were very professional, and some were just downhearted, and not downhearted, but, you know, upbeat, and hey, here's how you make it, and all of them, of course, successful, and you don't remember.
I don't.
No, I'll give you a
pop quiz, folks. I have no idea.
I will give you a hint, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Initials are DP. Okay, that doesn't work.
The last name that comes to mind is Pavic.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, you got a D-P, D Pavic. First name yes. is?
Well, the student I can think of is Dale, but I can't think
yes,
of the parent.
Yes, his
okay.
dad.
Okay.
Don Pavic.
All right.
All right, so you passed that test. Congratulations.
Yay.
All right, I'm really, you know, I did not know that you were from Northfield when you and I were communicating by way of, what is it, email or texting?
Yeah.
I think we did an email.
Yeah.
And I think as I was looking through it, and I'm not good with a smartphone,
mm-hmm.
That I must have contacted you three times to get a commitment, and mm-hmm. You had said yes, and then I, are you sure, and anyhow, you assured me that you would be here this morning.
Yes.
So I'm glad. And the reason is I don't know how I found out about you in the first place.
I think it was through your daughter, actually, because her and I've talked. Her and I connected because I'm a Reiki master, and I happen to use tarot in my distance Reiki sessions.
Reiki?
Yes. Reiki is a form of energy healing. It's an Eastern medicine. It works with the chakras to help align and balance your body, just like yoga, except instead of doing the yoga exercises, you lay on a massage table, and I do kind of a Best way to describe it would be a laying of hands, not to sound religious, but that's kind of the way to do it. And my hands get really, really warm. Several of my clients, if I have them in my space, will tell you that my hands kind of feel like an oven, just because that's the energy flowing through to help heal the person and remind the body how to heal itself.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to start sounding really woo-hoo, folks, so just be ready.
Really what?
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo?
Yeah, crazy.
You can tell by the look in my eye, by like, what?
Yeah.
But this is exactly why I invited you here, is because I want to know about that stuff, because there are people that say that's all a bunch of whatever.
Hooey.
And then there are people that just say, hey, this is for real, this really works, etc. And then the fortune tellers, all right? I figured out the fortune tellers and how they do that. And I think if I were to discipline myself, I could be a fortune teller based on what people say and then where you can go with that.
It's tricky. I don't consider myself one, mainly because I've always been a giver, and I have a lot of friends who jokingly refer to me as Mama Margot, because even though I don't have kids, I'm always there trying to help everybody. And so for me, tarot, when I'm doing it with Reiki, helps me see more of what's really going on, so I really know where to focus better. I don't even tell my clients I'm using the cards, because for me, it's more of an oracle reading than a tarot reading. And that's going to trip up some people who don't know the difference, so
all right,
I'll have to explain that.
This is what's nice about the show, is that I have 2 hours, so
yes.
We can get as detailed as you want.
Yeah.
And I'm also very inquisitive, so tell me the difference.
Okay, so I actually brought a bunch of cards with me today, folks, so he'll see more of a visual than you will, but with oracle cards, it's more of a one-day reading kind of thing. Like, if you're meditating or praying and you just feel like pulling a card to help you focus more on what you want to think about in that meditation or prayer, you have that one card. But with tarot, it's helping your subconscious come to your conscious side and see things more clearly. At least that's how it is for me. Everybody's a little different with tarot. But for me, with the tarot, I turn it into more of an oracle. Like, I'll just pull one card, or sometimes I'll do up to 3 cards, like a past, present, future. And within that, it's, oh, okay, so this person might be having a difficult time right now, but they were having it rougher. It's starting to, you know, balance out. And then, oh, look, now the sun is shining or something. And so I kind of do it that way.
Well, I figured something out already. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Margot is M-A-R-G-O-T.
Mm-hmm.
Tarot cards are T-A-R-A-T, but you say Margot and you say tarot. Tarot.
Yeah.
So you eliminated the T from your name because you were involved with these cards. Am I right?
I wish.
No?
No, my grandma was the same. Margot is French for Margaret. And I was not given the birth name of Margaret, so it's not a nickname. It's my actual birth name.
And most people say the T, and then you get mad.
I get a lot of that,
yeah. I mean, do you when you correct people and say it's pronounced Margot, not Margaret, do you get frustrated that people do that, or do you understand and just let them know?
As an adult, I'm not as frustrated as I was as a kid. As a kid, it was more difficult because peers your own age, 8 to, say, 12 or so, even younger than 8, but I'm using that as a buffer here, they will just look at the name and then they'll start making fun of it. So I was very defensive of my name as a child. As an adult, I use names like Margot Kidder because she was Lois Lane and she has the exact same spelling as my name. You know, I'd say Margot Hemingway, but I think hers was an A-U-X spelling,
okay.
So it's always tricky.
I would imagine when you talk about kids and how mean they can be, I don't care if you graduated in 94 or 64 or 34, kids are mean.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And, of course, today with the modern media, kids can, you can't go home from school and find a safe haven.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but I would assume that you may have been teased and called Margut and Magnet or
all sorts of names.
Of those things just because of the name.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be called, my sister used to call me Wanine.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about how mad I used to get.
Yeah. And my dad used to tease his older sister. Her name was Muriel Ethel, so she was Cigars and Gasoline.
Okay. Now
really old reference for those of you who do not know, but for those who are of that generation, you'll understand.
Well, I want people to be sure to stick around because one of the things we're going to do and by radio is she's going to read cards and tell me what's going on, and we'll try to describe what the card looks like and what they mean and all of that stuff because I've never been to one.
Okay.
I don't think I've even been to
I'll even do some card comparisons too because some people when they're doing a card reading, because I'm part of a Tea and Tarot group back in Milwaukee, I'm like, where am I from? and so we'll do card comparisons during the Tea and Tarot, like the difference between a Two of Cups and a Lover's card. The Lover's card usually has a little bit more turmoil designed into it, and the Lover's card or the Two of Cups has a tendency to be a little bit more copacetic.
How many cards are there?
It varies from deck to deck, but I think the average, I'm going to say 78, but I could be off.
And how many do you use in a reading?
It varies. Some readings I just do a solid three. Other ones I keep going because I have more things I need answered.
Okay.
Yeah. But like I said, with Reiki, I don't normally, and I usually don't read for people, so this is going to be kind of fun.
What do you mean you don't usually read for people?
Well, I'll read for them with the Reiki. I'll do a whole setup, folks. I'll take pictures, and then I'll tag Wayne, so if you're friends with him on Facebook, and I'll also tag the studio so you guys can all see what we're doing.
Oh.
Because I'll lay out the Reiki that I do, or at least the altar that I do for the Reiki, and he might even get a Reiki treatment by the end of the session.
Okay.
Who knows?
Whatever she's talking about, folks, I'm game for it. And you can also during a break, send out the things like to Angel.
Yeah.
To, you know, she can tune in live. You
yeah.
know, we're streaming.
Yep.
So can you have anybody listening in Milwaukee?
Not that I'm aware of, but I know everybody wants me to link it when we're done. So.
Okay. Well, it is 9:14 on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and Margot Jackson from Northfield is my guest this morning, class of 94. Margot, have you ever been to the quarterback club?
I have. I actually really miss their burgers.
You do? Yes. What's your favorite burger there?
Well, I am an old nostalgic type. I like cheeseburgers, but okay. I don't know what they have anymore because I haven't actually eaten there in 20 years.
Well, you better stop by there for lunch today. Yeah. They have six specials.
Ooh.
Hamburgers, with some with mushrooms, some with bacon, some with... I mean, it's they got six of them that they specialize in. Maybe it's five. And you get fries and a soft drink with that for like $7. It's a heck of a good deal. And, of course, the burgers are flame broiled.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else in town does that.
Yeah, no, I prefer flame broiled. I like Culver's stuff, but I get sick from the butter burger because the butter is too much for my stomach.
That was unsolicited, Dale.
Yes. Sorry about that, folks.
Dale Finger, of course, the owner of the quarterback club, and it's locally owned, locally managed. Many a high school graduate has worked there or still work there and learned how to be a business person and how to treat adults and children alike by being a server at the quarterback club, located right on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield, Minnesota, the home of cows, colleges, and graduations.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
The Kenyon Municipal Liquor Store would like to salute the area graduates and wish them well in their future endeavors. Stop by the Kenyon Municipal Liquor Store and check out their great selection of fine wines. Join the fun and check out their spring selection. Visit the Kenyon Municipal Liquor Store in Kenyon.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATHTUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, a friend you can count on. Name this tune. It was number 10 in all of 1994 on the Billboard's Top 100. Can you name this tune? Pardon me?
Not off the top of my head. Sorry, folks.
Okay, it's called Don't Turn Around, and it's done by Ace of Base.
Wow.
Little reggae.
Yeah.
That kind of goes with what you're going to do today, huh?
A little.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a name that sounds like reggae. Mm-hmm. What's the name?
Reiki.
Reiki. How do you spell Reiki?
R-E-I-K-I.
Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Reiki. It's universal life or universal life force.
Is that like a religion?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It actually works with all religions.
Okay.
So.
What was I going to say? There was a little pun in there for me. Reiki.
Lot of people, there's a cartoon out there that's one of my favorites. This lady's laying on the massage bed, and the Reiki master has an actual lawn rake going over the person's back, and the lady on the massage table is saying, "I didn't think this was what Reiki was."
Yeah, I had something to that effect that I was going to say, but all right, let's let people know who you are, and that is the fact that Margot Jackson is born. Were you born and raised in Northfield?
I was not born in Northfield. We moved here when I was 4, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so for all practical purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who are your mom and dad?
John Jackson and Georgie Jackson. My dad was on city council in Rotary back in the 80s and early 90s. He was the director of the Girl Scout Council for 17 years before he quit and ended up joining Prudential.
I probably know him.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Jackson.
John.
John Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
John Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah. I do remember him.
Yeah. My mom was the fifth grade teacher at St. Dominic's for many, many years.
Okay. So you have a lot of people listening that know your family.
Yes.
Okay. Are you in any relation to the Red Jackson out in Dundas?
Nope.
Okay. Do you know who that is?
I don't, actually.
Okay.
Sorry, Red.
But you go over the railroad tracks on County Road 1 as you're going towards the freeway. It's the first place on the left.
Okay.
And it used to get flooded all the time.
Ah.
Finally, they built it so it's higher.
Okay.
So, just a question. Mm-hmm. And he was a race car guy. So, you've been here all your life. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two older sisters.
Two older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Who's the oldest?
Becky.
Becky. And how much older is Becky than you?
They're both 2 years older than me. One is 2 months older than the other. I have both of them were adopted, to say it quickly.
Okay. Becky is how much older than you?
She's 2 years.
2 years. And so is?
Cheryl.
Cheryl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead.
Nope.
Cheryl. Cheryl. Cheryl.
Yep.
Okay, can't even spell Cheryl. But anyhow, she's 2 years older also. Mm-hmm. Were they in the same class together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And these are older than you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came along.
Well, my dad refers to me as the homegrown because I was the first kid. And then they adopted Cheryl when I was 3. And she was adopted from India, and then Becky moved in as a foster care, and my parents gained legal guardianship of her when she was 9.
Okay.
So it was, yeah.
So you were the biological child, and then they brought in 2 big sisters.
Yes.
I can just imagine the conversation that went on among the 3 of you at times.
Oh, yeah.
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 You know, over clothes, over shoes, over parties, over boys, over dishes, over everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you always win? Did you do the na-na-na-na-na, I am?
No. I think the fights usually came down to either them saying, well, you're their kid, so you're the spoiled one, or me saying, but there's 2 of you.
Yeah. Okay.
That's kind of how they ended up.
Well, that has a kind of a lot of interesting dynamics, I would imagine, when you were, let's say, in middle school, and your dad went off to do his Girl Scout thing, and your mom went off to teach at St. Dominic's, and then you guys went off to middle school. And the middle school at that time, I'm trying to remember, oh, it was the old White Center.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. You were kind of like the... some of the last people in that school.
Not quite, but close, yeah.
And what I like to do on this show is talk about, you know, memories, the fun things, and sometimes the not-so-fun things. But do you remember your teachers in junior high?
Very little. The teacher that had the biggest impact on me was actually in high school, so... and my mom was my fifth-grade teacher, so...
Who were your... your mom was your to sixth grade because you went to St. Dominic's.
Yep.
Bless you, my child.
Thank you.
Okay, so you get over there, and now it's all public school kids. Mm-hmm. You haven't met before and all that, and your sisters had already been through there.
Yeah.
And so now you're expected. Were they, did they set the pace for you, like to be real popular or
not
real
really.
Smart? Or
yeah,
real?
No, we were all extremely different and... you know, all rebellious in our own ways. They had their own set of friends. I had my own set of friends. As we've been talking, I'm like, oh, the one teacher that comes to mind for me was, I was still at St. Dominic's part-time. So it was Mrs. Rogers.
Mrs. Rogers.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people know Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
But what about your Phi Ed teacher at the middle school?
I don't even remember who that was. I only had them for eighth grade because I was full-time in eighth grade.
Was it like Miss Fink?
I think so. I mean, the name sounds familiar, so.
Okay. So, and you don't recall others?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a bad memory or unimpressive?
Yes and no. Middle school by eighth grade was much better memory, and it was just a blur. I remember making more friends in eighth grade than I had previously, so for me that was a big change.
Did you ever wander down to Tiny's?
Yes, I like Tiny's.
You were? Did you go to Tiny's when you were? Really?
Yeah. We'd sneak in.
Well, that was kind of unusual, wasn't it? I mean, not many girls went in there.
No, we usually, I shouldn't say went in, but we pretty much would get by the alleyway and, you know, the guys would have little fights and tiffs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, so. Smoke.
Yeah.
And do things like that. Go in and read the magazines?
I didn't, but I heard all about them.
Did you ever have a hot dog, a Coney Island?
I did, yes. Those I did when I was a little older,
yeah. I remember, I think, when they were either 15 cents or 25 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Then how about an icky eggy?
I did not.
Okay. You know what an icky eggy is?
No, you're going to have to refresh my memory.
It's an egg salad sandwich.
Oh, okay.
For the townies, an icky eggy, you know, certain age group knows what an icky eggy is.
Okay.
So you're off to high school now. Now, where did you live?
We lived over on Manitou Street, over by Way Park, actually.
Okay.
So.
And some people might say, where's that? Well, it's by the Odd Fellows, or where's that? Well, it's by Three Links.
Right.
And St. Olaf is right west
right up
of
the
you.
Hill, yeah. And so was the Ole store. We actually grew up right across the street from the Ole E. Rolvog home. So.
Okay, on Manitou.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what, every time I hear the street Manitou, what I think of?
Hmm.
The flowers. The people along Manitou just had beautiful front yards.
Yeah.
You know, the old houses.
Yeah, we had the old oak trees, the old archways that would have been beautiful with the horse and carriage era.
Yeah. So. And the flowers in the yards, I just remember they were, you know, there were more of them, that more neighbors that had flowers in most neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So and then on the corners, you know, city-owned property.
Yeah.
So I remember that. So what was that house like in regards to bedrooms and bathrooms?
It was an old craftsman style. Mr. Wang. So the nice thing with Manitou is that it has an annual picnic every year, and everybody who lives on Manitou knows the history of their house and who built it and who lived there before them. And so on those street picnic days, whether it's right around Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend, depending on rain, you get the chance to say whose house you live in now. And so we were, it was the Wang house when we lived there, because it was the gentleman who built the house and who lived there. Wang's Woods, I believe, is actually named after him or his son.
Right.
And it's just a beautiful craftsman. I think there was one other house on our street that had the same structural build. It was gray stucco. I don't know what it is now. I've heard that they did a huge remodel on the inside. I haven't seen it in years. But when I lived there, it was a small hallway, living room, dining room, office or family room. It had a walk-in closet before we renovated it and turned it into a large bathroom so it could include a shower. It had a pantry and a kitchen, and then it had two landings to go upstairs. And upstairs it was 1, 2, 3, 4 bedrooms. The smaller bedroom was up front, and before Becky moved in, it was actually our toy rooms.
Yeah. Okay. But each of you had a room.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that certainly was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. I'm trying to, were you between St. Olaf Avenue and First Street or?
Greenville?
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I think Wang lived on the corner on mm-hmm. Greenville in, is it Manitou? I never looked at the street.
Yeah, so. I don't remember.
When I first came to town, somebody sent me over there to talk to Mr. Wang about mm-hmm. something. I don't
yeah,
know what it
no,
was.
Yeah, there is a street that divides one side of Manitou, and I can't remember the name of that one.
Okay.
So it could have been First Street.
Yeah. I don't know, mm-hmm. but I know that he had a house that faced east, mm-hmm. and there was a garage that mm-hmm. faced north.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. When I'm going to say her name wrong, I know her as Besta, Torold Homestead's mother. She was the daughter of Ole E. Rolag, and she had this beautiful photo album of the street and how it had been cornfields and wheat fields and then a dirt road and just the progression of the street as a whole. It was absolutely beautiful historically to see the changes and where the houses came from and what era they got put in and that sort of thing. I love history, so
well,
just even that little bit about my street was a huge thing for me as a kid.
Well, my wife and I like to drive around town. It never mm-hmm. gets old. And one of the things I'm proud of is that I learned to guess the ages of homes by the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we had all the elm trees taken out along mm-hmm. St. Olaf Avenue at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, that will tell you the story. And what really surprises me is the trees that are so huge now that were just little ones that the home builders stuck in the front,
mm-hmm.
you know, the little skinny ones, about 10 feet tall,
yeah,
12
yeah.
feet tall. And now they're tree trees.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a neighborhood yesterday at another graduation party,
mm-hmm.
and I had never been back in that neighborhood. It's on the southeast side of town behind the YMCA.
Okay.
And the homes, to me, look relatively new,
mm-hmm.
And yet they had some beautiful trees in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably... Anyhow, do you ever go by there and look at the...
Yeah,
anything
I love...
That was huge to you then, that's kind of little to you now?
It's really weird to me now, but when I was a kid, even though my grandparents lived in Ohio, my dad's parents, they taught me all sorts of weird quirks. So, like, looking at license plates would tell you not only what city they were in, but what county they were in. At least that's the way it used to be. I don't know if it still is. And also, homes that were made with stone, you could tell how rich the family was by what stones they used, and then also the architectural type in the period. So you could really identify how rich they really were in the 1930s versus another home. So if it was like limestone or sandstone versus brick and that sort yeah. of thing. So it was really fascinating to me. So that's how I identified old streets.
And I can tell the post-World War II houses
mm-hmm.
in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
You just, yep, that's a, and those neighborhoods are usually well-treed and bushes
mm-hmm.
and shrubs and all that.
Yeah.
It's 9:30 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, a friend you can count on. My guest this morning is a woman by the name of Margot Jackson. She's from the class of 1994. 2014, and you have a 15-year class reunion.
No, it would be 24 or 25
yeah,
coming up. Because
yeah.
it's 94, 04, 14. Yeah. Yeah.
94 to 04 is 10.
Yeah.
04 to 14 is 20.
Yeah. The only class reunion I came back for was the 20th. I did not come back before that because I've lived pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah. And the, you know, it's amazing. Like, you have one every 5 years, it seems, mm-hmm. which is, you know, a busy time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed the 10th. The best, and I've been to them all since.
I wasn't living here for the 10th, and I understand that the people who were here only knew about it, and they didn't reach out to everybody else. And that was okay with me at that time. I was going through quite a bit, and I think I was living in California at the time. So
round, I get around.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Went to college in Iowa, moved back here for a short time, then ended up in San Diego, then moved back here for a short time, ended up in New York, unfortunately, during 9/11. So, yeah, I've got some weird issues with that, some PTSD. And then ended up in San Francisco, and then back in San Diego, and then moved in with my parents where they retired to in North Carolina for a few years before I moved to Wisconsin 7 years ago.
Well,
so I get around, yes. My friends refer to me as the gypsy dweller.
How long are you in Northfield?
For this weekend, I pretty much leave later this afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'll be back, folks. So if he wants me back again, I'll be back
in
August.
what you just described, I mean, that would be fun to hear in detail.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
I mean, holy cow, I'm thinking, wow, you know, this will be fun. I've had guests on, many guests on more than once, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you just named like 8 different places.
Yeah, I joke that I've had 32 different addresses in my 42 years of living, and 7 of those have been states.
Yeah. In San Diego, for example, I have a buddy that lives out in San Diego, and my wife and I celebrated our 25th anniversary several years ago in San Diego in April, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the worst coast.
Okay.
I don't like California. Mm-hmm. They're just way too... Anyhow, did you like, the point is, did you like San Diego?
I loved San Diego. It's actually, I refer to it as my hometown, but it's where my heart lives. It's not my hometown, which is obviously
you
here.
You get that wrong. It's supposed to be San Francisco.
San Francisco was too cold for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. Okay, like you, live in Minnesota, you get used to the cold, but you live in San Francisco, and because it's damp and it's dreary and it's gray, the damp goes all the way to the bone where it doesn't here in Minnesota. So it's colder for me in San Francisco, and I didn't
that.
Like that.
Well, my wife and I went on our second anniversary, I think. I surprised her and got on a plane. Well, she figured it out by the time we walked to the concourse, but... Anyhow, we went out to San Francisco, and we had wonderful weather.
Oh, I love April. San Francisco. Is the Bay Area in general is one of my favorite places. Weather aside, I would live there in a heartbeat. You know, but yeah, weather included, not so much.
When you were in San Diego, how did you earn a living?
I actually worked for Warner Brothers Studio Stores.
Gee, you have my gosh! Your stories are going to be so fascinating, and we only have a few minutes here. Doggone it.
Sorry, folks. He's getting a lot of surprises from me he didn't expect coming. So.
No. I'm thinking, I kind of knew that you were about my daughter's age, so I figured you haven't gotten around there that much. No knock on my daughter, but you haven't gotten around that much, you know? You're here. But, boy, sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Have you had scary parts in your life?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you had wonderfully rewarding parts of your life?
Yes, definitely.
Have you had heartbreak in your life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One major one and several small ones.
Have you had traditional religious beliefs in your life?
Yes.
Have you made a lot of money at times in your life?
At times.
Have you
currently
made,
not right now.
Were you ever hand to mouth in your life?
Yes.
Have you ever compared Milwaukee to San Diego?
Yes, actually I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
For me, I actually would say the difference is the wagon wheel layout of Milwaukee versus the grid system of San Diego. For those who don't quite understand that reference, it's more of World War One or Two with the highways and the president deciding we needed to have grids that made more sense for the street layouts. And Milwaukee still has a lot of the old wagon wheel. You know, you can tell where...
Rome.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
All roads lead to Rome.
Yes, precisely.
Like, yeah. 9:34. Wait a minute. It is got to get this right. 9:36:19. Got to keep people posted on the time. You know, of course, nowadays, I mean, everybody has a watch in their hand, you know, or on their wrist or in their car. Mm-hmm. I have an older car that I drive and I keep looking for the temperature, and it's not on there. Well, you know, so, but anyhow, Margot Jackson is my guest here this morning on KIM. She's from the class of 94. Her sisters, Becky and Cheryl, are from the class of 92. Mm-hmm. And her father, John Jackson, was the Girl Scout leader here in Northfield. And also... your mom was a teacher at St. Dominic's. Mm-hmm. Now, was your dad a Girl Scout leader when they took over the loan place, finance place out on Highway 3
yes,
North?
Yes, yeah, he was the director at that time, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember my very dear late friend Bernie Hughes had property that abutted that, and there got to be some kind of a discourse in that. And, I said to Bernie, I said, Bernie, they're the Girl Scouts, and you're a nice guy. Why would there be discourse? Well, they say it's here, and I say it's here. The property lines.
Oh,
and all
yeah.
That. And anyhow, it got resolved, obviously.
Oh, that's good.
So what do you think your dad is thinking right now in Missouri, did you say?
No, North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah. What do you think he's thinking right now about Scouts USA?
I have no idea. We don't always ask him those questions. I always like to tease him that he looked good in green and brown, so that's pretty much the extent of what we talk about these days.
What does green and brown mean?
The colors of the uniforms. Because he is...
girls are green, boys are brown?
No, for Girl Scouts, depending if you're a brownie, you wear brown, and then as it goes, as you get older, middle school, high school level, you wear green. And part of... Because my dad had been a director for 17 years, he ended up being gifted, I think, the lifetime membership. So my dad is a lifetime Girl Scout, so I always like to tease him. He looks good in the uniform.
Okay. All right. So. Now... Of course, there your dad is the man in the girls, and did you and or Becky and Cheryl become eaglets or whatever they call them?
No.
I'm not being a chauvinist. No, I just don't know.
No, that's okay. Those are part of the Boy Scouts, and my dad was not incorporated with Boy Scouts, so we were all the Girl Scouts, and we did do the uniforms and the activities in Girl Scouts.
But did you have the...
We didn't go all the way up.
Okay.
I think my sisters stopped in middle school, and I know I did. I may have been in Girl Scouts till like 9th or 10th grade, but I didn't go further than that.
Did they have a program similar to the ambassadors in the 4-H?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't think they did back then, but I wasn't heavily involved. I pretty much showed up to hang out with my friends at the troop meetings. I was just kind of like, this is my dad's thing, and I'm here to hang out with my friends, and yeah.
Did you ever hang out with Angel?
I think we hung out a little bit in high school. I remember just being, I was the person in high school who was involved in a lot of the different activities, so I knew a lot of people, but I didn't hang out with people outside of school unless it was a school activity.
Okay.
So.
And Angel is my daughter, and she graduated in 94,
yep.
Where Don Pavic was the commencement speaker,
yes.
And you don't remember that.
No, sorry, Don.
Okay. we're later on, folks, in the second hour, we're going to do tarot card reading and some other information that she's going to pass along. Right now, she has a piece of cloth. It's white. It's about the size of a... outfolded hanky. In the middle, it looks like the that place in Washington where they have that real tall...
It's referred to as a crystal wand. I use it usually with Reiki to either lay on people or to help channel energy, in this case with the layout that I'm doing.
And then it has a purple... it looks like three sevens that meet mm-hmm. at the bottom, and then you have little crystal things on mm-hmm. each part yeah. of the purple
yeah,
sevens.
Yeah, clear quartz crystals that are pointing clear quartz crystals to aim the energy into the center to bring the energy out into the rest of the room.
Clear quartz crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Clear quartz crystal.
Yeah, right.
Try to say that three times real quick. Clear quartz crystals. Clear yep. quartz crystals. Clear. No, can't
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, can't do it either.
At 19 minutes before, it is 10 o'clock on a beautiful Monday morning. It is the fourth day of June. The year is 2018. And my guest is Margot Jackson. And she right now is living in Milwaukee, and she ought to know it's the Pabst Blue Ribbon story wherever you go. Do they don't do beer out there like they used to, do they?
Oh, no, they still do. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. do they still have Pabst?
They still have Pabst. Miller Brewing is the biggest brewing company out in Milwaukee. It's home brews are the hugest thing. Schlitz is still there, yes.
Yeah,
it's wide variety. I kind of joke that California was where I learned my taste for wine and what I liked with wine, because they do flights and stuff out at wineries out there. And then I moved to Milwaukee and I'm learning my beer taste, which I didn't really have a taste for beer prior to that. I'm more of a hard liquor kind of girl. So
you're going to the various little places and trying and then buying maybe, what do they call them?
They call them flights, so that you can taste anything from a pale ale all the way up to a stout.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do they call those big bottles you take home with you?
My brain just died on me. Sorry.
Oh.
I can't think of it. It'll hit me in 20 minutes. I'll be like, oh.
Well, you'll still be here in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we'll, I can't think of the name. But anyhow, mm-hmm. We have, now two breweries here in town.
I heard.
And one in Dundas.
Ooh.
And
I did not know about that.
And a liquor place here in town, mm-hmm. homemade, mm-hmm. booze,
mm-hmm.
and one in Faribault.
Okay.
And 10,000 Drops in Faribault, Loon Liquors in Northfield, mm-hmm. Chapel in Dundas, mm-hmm. Teeterwald's on Highway 3 next to Holiday,
okay.
and Ziggy's, and then Eminent Brewery on 6th and Division.
Okay. Places I have to go check out next time I'm in town.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that mm-hmm. all that's going on. I'm trying to remember what they call those jugs that you bring home with you. There's mm-hmm. a name for them, but I can't think of it. But anyhow, people mm-hmm. are out there listening to radio. They're going, it's this, you dummy.
Right?
It's this. You
exactly.
have a show on the radio
yeah.
on KYMN that, talks about. I'm sorry, I don't know. Well, Margot, let's find out, after you graduated from Northfield High, what did you do in high school, though?
I was involved in track and field, and I tried tennis my first semester, or my first year, I should say. And then I just fell in love with track and field and stuck with that. And I was also involved in homecoming and snow week committees. I was on the yearbook. I wanted to try out for the newspaper, but I never really did. Kind of intimidated because newspaper writers run in my family.
Well, that'd be an advantage, wouldn't it?
It would have, but I'm very insecure.
Yeah, they didn't want you. You didn't want them to read your stuff and
yes.
say, "Well,
yeah,
you're using a verb here when you should be using
right,
an
yeah.
adverb."
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about track and field. What mm-hmm.
I did shot put and discus.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought that mm-hmm. when you said that, I was thinking you didn't look like a fast asher.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever they're called, but
yeah, no. I'm built to throw things.
Now, one of the things I ask
mm-hmm.
any athlete, whether it's high school, grade school, junior high, college, professional, everyone that participated in sports remembers one particular play, one particular thing that they'll never forget that they did in their sport. So as a shot putter, what was that one you'll never forget?
I actually just really remember the practices over at Carleton College. I always did better in the practices than I did at the actual tournaments in competitions. So for me, it was probably that more than anything. Even though he wasn't my coach, Mr. Foley, because he was part of the runners' coaches, Mr. Foley had a big impact just on his being laid back and everything. So as far as coaches go, I remember him. I can't remember the guy who was our shot put and discus, but I do remember he was an enjoyable person as well. I just can't think of his name.
Well, what about, didn't you have your best ever in competition that came in third or fourth or second?
No,
or?
I wasn't one of the strong ones. I'll leave that to Melanie Klinkhammer. She was the strong one in our group.
So you went to track meets and knew you weren't going to add to your comp?
I knew that I would add somehow, but it wasn't. I would say I was more of a team cheerleader than my physical strength.
Okay. Were you more enamored by the put or by the putt or by the discus?
I loved the discus, but it also wasn't my strong. I love throwing things. I grew up racing sailboats on Lake Superior, so I was my dad's crew member. So for me, I probably can tell you more about racing sailboats than I can about shot put and discus, unfortunately.
What's the most exciting thing that ever happened while you were out sailing?
Gosh, there was a lot of good times. For me, it was actually crewing on a boat on the Pacific. It was the Newport Ensenada race, which is one of the races that leads up to the America's Cup, and I got to do it on a cruising yacht, not a racing yacht, but it was still something I can say I've done.
What's the difference between a cruising and a
cruising yacht has a cabin built inside of it, so you've got like a little kitchenette area, you've got a little dinette area. The boat is divided up so that you've got a V-berth where you can sleep, or quarter berths, or the seating area in the cabin can unfold into berth areas for sleeping, whereas a racing yacht has pretty much hammock areas for you to sleep.
Well, did you do both?
I did not. I've been on racing boats, but only to check them out and have the opportunity to sit in them, but I've never actually been on one to race.
Well, how about a cruise?
The cruising yachts, I cruise, race, whatever. I'm pretty much all over the board with that.
Oh, well,
but
I mean,
not cruising ships I've never been on.
No, I'm talking about not the racing yacht, mm-hmm. but the other one.
The cruising?
Yeah. That there's competition in
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
do
yeah.
you have to set sails and do things like
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah, okay. Carry around a 90-pound jib. For those okay. of you who know what a jib is.
Now, do the skipper or whatever you call, who's the boss on one of those?
There's the captain and then the skipper. And
you mean a captain and skipper are two different people?
It can be.
Okay. Do they ever get mad like some coaches do in a football game or a baseball game?
One of my favorite quotes is a very short poem about don't let the dang thing, and I'm being polite here, don't let the dang thing hit the dock or you'll see who catches hell. And that's the abbreviation of the entire poem, but yeah, it sums up how the captain feels. It's everybody else's fault but the captain's, even though it is completely the captain, because the captain's the one telling you what to do.
How long does one of those races last?
It can, there's a couple different ones. So we've done day races, which could be just a couple of hours, and my dad has done everything up to the Trans-Superior race, which is, I think, going to say a week long. It might be a couple more days than a week, which goes from one end of Lake Superior to the other. And I've done, like, the Newport Ensenada was not quite a week long race, but it was, you know, it was close. It was a couple days.
Do you ever have to blow into the sail to make it go faster?
Jokingly, yes.
Yeah, I can see out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, did you have one specific job, or are you expected to be able to do them all?
I've been taught to do them all, but my specialty that I was trained really well in is trimming the sails. So sitting on the low end of the heel and, you know, watching the ribbon on the jib or the spinnaker or whatever to make sure that it's in the right alignment, to make sure that the boat's right where it needs to be. Yeah. So.
Did they ever clock you? Was there a fast time in regards to MPH?
There is fast times. My I would say in the time that we did that, when we were my dad's crew, we did really well. My dad knew how to empty the boat out before a race and make sure there was just so much water that we would need, so that the boat was lighter in weight than, you know, it could have been, to help with the speed. Usually the cruising yacht we had at the time was an Islander 30, boat that's no longer made. And I think the fastest we ever saw it go was up to 6.7, maybe 7 knots of wind. But I think my dad's gotten it to go faster once or twice since he moved to North Carolina, but I'm not sure.
Are you still interested in sailing?
Oh, I still do it when I can, yeah. I'm not a member of a yacht club or anything in Milwaukee. I've considered it, but my life is so busy that I don't have time.
Did your dad ever do Lake Pepin?
He may have, probably through the Girl Scouts more than anything, but okay. he was more of a big boat racer than a sunfish racer. He does a little bit more of that nowadays, though.
All right. So. Margot Johnson.
Jackson.
I get the first one, and then the next time I'll say Margot Jackson.
That's all good.
Anyhow, we are interviewing this young lady, class of 94. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a flash.
Hello, I'm Brad Kamak, Director of Development at Three Links. We would like to thank the community for their support of Three Links and our mission. Our 19th annual John Falk Memorial Charity Golf Tournament is on August 2nd at Willinger's Golf Club. Sign up by June 15th for a chance to win a foursome of free golf. Enjoy a day of golf, games, food, entertainment, and most importantly, making a lasting impact on those who receive services and care at our campuses. For more information, call me at 664-8867 or visit 3links.org.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Licensed, bonded, insured, Master Technician Oren Laguerre offers electrical solutions for modern farm systems in southern Minnesota. Oren specializes in grain dryers and center pivot irrigation systems. Harvest Electric salutes the dairy farmers of Minnesota this June Dairy Month. HarvestElectric.net.
When it's love you
All right, class of 94 graduate, this was the number 8 song in all of 1994, the year you took to the stage as a graduate of Northfield High School. Name this tune.
I know it's Bryan Adams, and it was from the Robin Hood movie with Kevin Costner, Prince of Thieves. I can't think of the name of the song. All for love?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not only Bryan Adams, it's also...
That part I don't remember.
Sting.
Oh, of course.
It's not only Bryan Adams and Sting, mm-hmm. It's also the voice that's most dominant here.
Mm-hmm. Let's make it
all for love. Rod Stewart.
Okay.
The three of them.
Okay.
Tree. It is 6 minutes before it's 10 o'clock, and the news is coming up at 10 o'clock. Coming up at 11 o'clock, a fascinating tale of seduction, murder, fraud, coercion, and the trial of the Minneapolis Monster. Terry Knight's guest today is Sean Francis Peters, author of The Infamous Harry Hayward, a true account of murder and mesmerism in Gilded Age Minneapolis. At nearly every turn of the page, there are landmarks that nearly every Minnesotan knows. This was the crime of the century, 100 years before my guest graduated from high school in 1894, and newspaper journalists from all over the country came to report on the 7-week trial. Listen in at 11 o'clock this morning for 15 with the author. And I like true crime stories, so this is something that perhaps I may be interested in. Minneapolis Monster. At 11 o'clock, learn more about that. My guest this morning on Kim is a woman by the name of Mama Margot. That's her nickname, Mama Margot. Margot Jackson, she graduated in 94 Northfield, and her sisters, Becky and Cheryl, graduated in 92 from Northfield High School. Her dad was a Girl Scout leader here in Northfield, and her mom taught at St. Dominic's, and they now live in South Carolina.
North Carolina.
I knew I'd get it wrong. I had a 50-50 chance.
You were doing good.
Yeah. Oh, well, 4 minutes before 10 o'clock, and here's what's going to happen at 10 o'clock. We'll take a brief break for the news, and then we'll come back, and this woman is going to read, oh, you added more jelly beans out there.
I did.
Tarot cards. I've always wanted to have somebody tell me what is going on there. Is this for sure? Is this for real? Is this kind of a ripoff? Is this kind of just fun? Is this kind of overdoing it and making some people stress out? Mm-hmm. Is it making people relax and have fun and enjoy the potential future? All those things I want to know.
And then I'll answer with all of the above.
Okay.
Depends on who the reader is and what their intentions are when they're trying to help you.
Well, I have had hypnotists on. And basically, all you got to do is want to be. And that's how it works with a hypnotist. You got to want to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you if you need help, let's say for quitting smoking, if you want to, and you've tried everything and it didn't work, well, maybe a hypnotist is going to work out for you.
Right, yes.
And then again, at another time, a hypnotist may be putting on a show for somebody, and they'll take people from the audience that look like they would be vulnerable, but in reality, they know what's going on all the time. You would never do anything you wouldn't do normally.
Right.
You know, like you can't say, take off your clothes. That won't happen.
Right.
But there are people that it works for it, okay? So that's why I'm interested in this here.
Okay.
But more importantly is your life. My gosh, I'm going to I know you can't come back immediately soon because you're traveling or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, man, you must have had your ups and your downs, your fun and your hates, and not hates so much, but yeah.
You can include that word.
But, you know, just you've been a lot of places.
Yeah.
Ever overseas?
No, I haven't been. I'm actually hoping in the next 5 years to get to that point. So.
Canada?
No, Mexico, however, yes, because being San Diego, it's right next to the border. So.
You didn't go to Tijuana, did you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not at nighttime. Don't go at night, folks. Don't ever do TJ at night, but go during the day.
What's the attraction during the day for a woman?
I like the shopping. I actually, my sister Becky can admit to this, too. I carry a Mexican cotton wool blanket with me everywhere. I've had it for over 20 years now, and I bartered with the guy. He wanted me to pay $15 for it, and I bartered, of course, because that's what you do there. And I paid $5 for it, and it's still in perfect condition, and it's absolutely my favorite blanket. I bring it with me wherever I travel to, just because I like to sleep with it. It's my blankie.
Yeah, your little blankie.
Yeah.
Well. You mentioned it was about 20 years ago, so you haven't been there since?
Last time I was in TJ was actually, 2000...
it doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah, no, I was going to say it's probably 2005 or so.
Okay, so about 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the same thing, don't go there alone, don't go there
right.
at night.
Right, yeah, yeah. The reason for nighttime is because when you get drunk, they like to throw you in jail, and then it's hard to,
throw you in jail.
I never was.
Well,
I just know the stories.
That's a better part of being drunk there at night.
Right.
Is being thrown in jail, at least you're semi-safe.
Well, yeah, it depends, because, you know, you hear more about it as a San Diegan. The stories mostly center around the warnings for the military guys, because San Diego is a military base, so they like to hop over the border to get their kicks, and not good to do it at night especially.
Okay. So. Well, as a young boy, a young man, I heard all about Tijuana, and always thought, wow, that'd be, well, number one, it was a foreign country, you know, and I was a Minnesotan, and, but when my wife and I went out there, whatever it was, 4 years ago, we never even went south.
Okay.
It never... I think I might have said, should we run down to Tijuana? And our host said, you don't want to do that, or something like that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if I remember correctly, Tijuana is part of actually Baja California, Mexico. So it's still got a lot of people from the States, but it's obviously still Mexico. And my favorite margarita is actually from TJ because they grew the strawberries fresh in the backyard of the bar.
All right. At this time, we're going to take a break, okay?
Okay.
Margo Jackson is my guest, class of 94. We'll be back and we'll learn all about tarot cards after the news next on KYMN 1080 AM from Northfield, Minnesota and 95.1, The One.
Pardon me, deadly volcano. I'm John Trout. President Trump has tweeted this morning, quote, "I have the absolute right to pardon myself, but why would I do that when I've done nothing wrong?" End quote. Those sentiments, Trump's response to a confidential letter the president's attorney sent to special counsel Robert Mueller in January, but just published by the New York Times. Correspondent Caitlin Collins reports.
His lawyers argue there is no need for the president to sit down with Mueller, and he can't be compelled to testify, foreshadowing a potential subpoena fight, especially if the probe extends outside the bounds of the initial investigation into collusion.
At least 25 people were killed after the Fuego volcano in Guatemala erupted overnight. In Hawaii, Mount Kilauea continues to spew. Jim Roop reports a helicopter has rescued three people.
A stream of hot lava the size of three football fields crossed a highway in the town of Kapoho, cutting two men and a woman off from the rest of the island. About a dozen more people may be or may become cut off by lava.
Former President Bill Clinton is defending himself from criticism of his affair with Monica Lewinsky in light of the Me Too movement, telling NBC's Today Show,
"I've tried to do a good job since then with my life and with my work. That's all I have to say."
Clinton has co-authored a new book along with best-selling author James Patterson. Friends and family of U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy will host a memorial service at Arlington Cemetery this week to honor him on the 50th anniversary of his assassination. Reporter Andrew West was on the scene in L.A. at the time of the shooting.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? Is that possible? It's good.
42-year-old Senator Robert F. Kennedy was gunned down June 5, 1968, shortly after winning the presidential primary in California. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 200 points. I'm John Trout.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is The One, 95.1 FM, and, of course, KYMN AM. By the way, my guest this morning, Margo Jackson, is a 1994 graduate of Northfield High School. And, Margo, you just heard us talk about being FM. We were not FM when you were in school.
Correct. It was AM. I still refer to it as 1080 Kim. So.
Yeah, 1080 KYMN AM. And we were AM stereo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever listen to Kim as
yes,
a kid?
Yes, yes. First thing in the mornings. I actually remember your voice. That was kind of my wake up in the mornings.
Wow.
Surprise,
well,
folks.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. We are going to learn something today that I've been wanting to learn for a long time, and that is, what the heck are tarot cards? I didn't know how to pronounce it. I always said tarot cards, and now I learned this morning it's pronounced tarot cards. Tarot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Que sera tarot. I don't know how that came into my head. All right. Now she has a deck of cards that look about maybe twice the size of a normal deck of cards, maybe even three times the size. And she also has the white handkerchief-like thing. And then she has the number 7 three times on there, and the base of the sevens all get together in the middle. And then she has an oblique, I think that's a word, stone in standing straight up. Looks like the Washington Monument. And she also has little crystal-like shaped things that are about as big as a half a crayon. And she also has little stones all lined up on what looks like an outline of a tulip. And then she has a little Superman-like symbol on a chain. And she has a little green stone like an emerald, and then like a little tiny seashell that's purple. And now she pulled out another deck that's about the size of a normal deck, maybe a little bit bigger.
I've
now
got a lot of decks going
holy
on.
Holy cow. How many in a deck?
They all vary. But what I wanted to do to help Wayne get educated on tarot is to bring the various decks of cards that I have and explain how I use them and why I use them in certain cases. So we'll probably start there before I start having people call in. I may have to come back at it.
I don't take call-in shows.
Oh, good.
I mean, I don't take calls during the show.
Okay.
I've only done maybe 4 or 5 in 13 years.
Okay. Well, that makes it easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you tell me what each deck is called and what they look like on the back?
Yes. So the one that I have on the side of the grid layout I did with the gems is called the Archangel Raphael Oracle Deck. And as I said earlier, the Oracle Deck is kind of like a one-time thing. So you'd shuffle it and draw a card. I was shuffling it during our break. And so today's thing is, Dear Archangel Raphael, please help me know that I deserve to receive messages and other self-care treatments.
That's always the first one?
No, that's just the first one I pulled for today.
Well, it sounds like that's the way it should begin.
Right, yeah. And then just I'm going to shuffle it back in and see what else we can pull up so that he has another idea of Archangel Raphael. It says, yes, dear Archangel Raphael, please help me trust my feelings as the acute barometer of truth.
I think that anybody and everybody can relate to
that. Yes, exactly. You know. And that's literally, in all honesty, that's what these cards are, is to remind you, because, you know, a lot of people second-guess things, or they overthink, or they just shut down. And sometimes to help them communicate with themselves, because I do a lot of self-tarot. I don't really do a lot of reading for other people. I do reading for other people occasionally, so it's...
Well,
there
like
once in a
the
while,
one you just mentioned there, I think everybody has some inner feeling about should I or shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's a confrontation or a conversation.
Right. So this one was a yes card because it said yes at the top with exclamation point.
So how in-depth do you go each time you pull a card and read it?
What I would do is... Before a Reiki session, and what I did, folks, to help both myself get a little bit more comfortable in this conversation and for Wayne to see a little bit more of what I did, was the reason I did the grid layout was for the comfort level for me, as well as the protection hand, because I use the protection hand to help protect all the chakras when I work on them, which is why each color of the rainbow of the stones represents each color of the chakra, basically. And so they're all on the hand to help protect them. And then and depending on the client, I'm
seeing... Oh, this
seeing
is a hand?
Yes, this is a hand.
Oh, okay.
You can't...
I called it a tulip.
Yeah. From your side, it looks like a tulip.
Okay.
Because you're on the other side of it.
Okay. I get it.
But then, depending on my clients, I've got one client who is military, and so I have a deck of cards that actually have a shield and swords on them, and he identifies more with that deck than he does with my cat deck or my Green Witch Tarot deck, that sort of thing. So it just, again, it varies from each one.
Well, before you put those away, I know that we have some retired military people listening right now, and they have PTSA like you do about whatever it is.
Yeah.
And why don't you do a couple there to give them some feeling or thought? Maybe I can draw the card.
You could, yeah. Let's do that. I'm going to shuffle them real quick, folks, so you might hear an annoying noise. You might not.
It's not annoying.
Well,
it makes you want to go to Las Vegas.
I liked Wayne's way of thinking on that. That's awesome. Some people get annoyed by it. I love the sound of shuffling cards. Yeah. I actually can go into a meditative state just shuffling cards.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, imagine what you would have done, what would have happened to you if you rode my bike when I was a kid and I had the cards on the spokes. You'd go nuts.
I would, yeah. I'd just be like, oh, God.
Oh, okay. I'm ready to draw.
Okay.
And let me read it, and then you tell me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. I'm going to put my glasses on here. And these cards, they're nice-sized cards.
They are. I like them.
I'd like to play with a deck like this, but I'm not playing with a full deck anyhow. With the shield on, it has cross swords with the shield over them and a chalice above them. And it, I'm turning it over, and it says, regret, five of cups.
So it's because I can tell that it's facing upward instead of reversed, because if it was reversed, it would be like this. It would mean that if it was reversed, it would mean you're dealing with a lot of regret. Facing up, it means you've overcome the regret, and it still might be there as a reminder, but you've pushed through it.
Which, once again, everybody that's listening can sit there and think about that and come up with a connection.
Yeah.
Naive people might go, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then elaborate even further, but, you know, in that case, it's just a nice, simple, I like to go with the simple.
Okay, I'm going to turn this one around
because
I might get it upside down. Here we go. This one says, no, it's not upside down.
Nope.
Ooh, this has a guy holding his palms out like Jesus, and he's got a white robe, and then he's got a headdress similar to the thorn that Jesus wore. It has a chalice on a blanket-like thing with a robin or bird on that. And then next to it, it has the sword, and it's off the shield and laying on the side. And then it has on the other side the half a sword, it looks like, and some sort of a stick with red handles on both ends. And it's called the Droid, and it's number 5.
Actually, it's called the Druid.
Druid. I always get that wrong.
No, that's okay. Droid has an O. Druid has a U.
Oh.
So in this case, Druid is... The Druid religion is a religion of knowledge and growth and learning. And so in this case, this card is reminding you, if you haven't, go deeper, learn more before you make a decision.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, did you take classes to learn all this, or did you have a fellow droid or druid teach you?
Combination of everything. When I first picked up a tarot deck, it was actually an angel card deck, not the one I have with me, but a different one, because I was still with the Catholic guilt.
Okay. Nobody's a patrician.
Got to acknowledge the Catholic guilt.
Mea culpa.
But I came to terms with the realization for me that I was raised with, you know, wanting to talk to the angels if I couldn't, you know, feel, I know I can talk to God, but I always felt like the angels were there to help. That's what I was raised with within the Catholicism. And so what was wrong with a deck of angel cards that were tarot? So, you know, it was kind of that weird balance of trying to find the happy medium.
All right.
And so that's where I started. And then my first deck that was gifted to me, and that's the thing, I've heard people say that the way you should start with tarot is being gifted a deck of cards. And I agree to disagree because I bought my first deck, which was the angel card deck. However, my second deck is the one I still have with me. And that happens to be one that was, yes, I purchased it, but it was a gifted idea from somebody. My best friend, Soshi, and I were running around San Diego Comic Convention International's exhibit hall floor, and we found out that Brian Froud, who is the creative artist, if you will, behind The Labyrinth and Dark Crystal that Jim Henson wrote and produced and such, he came out with a he being Brian Froud came out with a tarot deck of all of his good fairies, bad fairies, and I wanted a piece of his artwork, but the piece I wanted was out of my price range. And so my friend said, well, why don't you get the tarot deck, because it's got all of his art on every card. So I now have that, and it's a different kind of tarot deck. It doesn't have your basic starting point with the major arcana and then the minor arcana. It's just 78 or 64 cards. I had to think about this. This deck 64? Is 64. Yeah, 64.
Cards. I just played that song.
Yes, you did. When I'm 64. It works out, right? It
was all meant to be. 64 and 64, holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, let me... Okay.
Now he wants to play with my deck. So the reason this deck is different is not just the fairies, but the top of the card is what they refer to as the topsy-turvy fairies, so you can't tell if it's upside or...
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, whereas with the other cards that Wayne was pulling, you could tell by the way the position of the cup and the sword and such.
Okay, this one could be up or down, yep. And it has little fairies on it, and they all have this woebegone look and bulgy eyes, and one looks like a devilish bullfrog. They're all different, and they're all interesting, and now I'm going to flip it up and see what I've got going here.
He's a little weirded out here. Okay, so this is called Himself, and it's card number 19, and it's a gentleman with the horns. So he was probably one of the animals of mythology at one time. He's got sparkles around him, and he's just reminding you to be you. Oh, and that's really what the card is saying to me. And that's the thing. With tarot cards, when you first buy a deck, most of them come with a book that will tell you what each card means. And my current favorite deck to use is my cat tarot deck, which he'll see in a minute. And it's the cat's advice. And, you know, and then it will tell you the reverse meaning and, you know, what you need to work on. But it allows you to learn each card individually. And a lot of people rely on their books when they're doing tarot readings, whether they're doing them for themselves or other people, and they haven't done it for very long. They keep pulling their book and saying, just a second, let me just double check the book. And you have to learn how to read the cards for you, because this is your deck, and each card is going to mean something different to you than what the creator of the deck actually intended.
If you just tuned in, you're wondering, what are we talking about here? We're talking about tarot cards, and our guest this morning is Margot Jackson, class of 94, and she's explaining, I've been looking forward to this, what tarot cards are, and one of the ones that I'm most interested in getting to is the angel cards, because they're angel, and my daughter's name is Angela. It's 18 minutes after 10 o'clock, so what do you, you have another deck in your hand. What is that one? Oops.
I was just getting ready to set it down.
Yeah.
This one is a smaller deck than the average.
It's a typical deck.
Yeah. It's called Kanxari cards, K-O-N-X-A-R-I. And they were a creation and actually technically designed to be a game. And pardon my way of describing this, folks. Take a Ouija board. Take the instruments you'd use if you're going ghost hunting. Take a tarot deck. Take a pendulum. And put them all together in a deck of cards. And that's what my friend Matt Bush created when he created the Kanxari cards. It's designed to be actually done by two people or more as a game. And I was asked to give them a test run, and I did it by myself, and they not only answered questions for me, I was able to learn a little bit of history of somebody who had died in a cemetery, and I did some research in the town records and found out that everything I had learned in the cards was actually correct. It was really scary and eerie, but really awesome at the same
time.
Did
they die in the cemetery, or they died and were in a cemetery?
They died and were in the cemetery.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a little girl and her brother.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
Now, in your hands, you have these cards. They look like a normal deck of cards.
Yep.
And you're shuffling them up. Mm-hmm. And is that to create confidence in your client, that you're shuffling them?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I do it just so that they get mixed up, and it helps. Shuffling cards helps cleanse them from the previous reading. Oh. So some people shuffle their cards the way I do, like a regular deck of cards. Some people do it sideways and shuffle them in sideways. And some people, just to cleanse their deck, knock on them and knock out the bad energy. So it just varies.
You mentioned that you did sailing.
Yes.
And, of course, maybe you've been on a ship. And mm-hmm. if you've been on a ship, I'm wondering if you got shuffleboard.
I've never played shuffleboard.
I'm shuffleboard.
Oh. Silly.
I'm ready.
So these cards are a little different because they're also done with photography instead of artwork like a lot of the other cards I have, which is Paul Michael Caine is the photographer. He's an amazing photographer. And then they also have symbols on the sides of them. So like this one is saying thermal, and it's got a color on it, and it's got the letter I.
And it has a thermometer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And this is Angel. And it's got a statue of an angel on it. I believe the number 7 and an arrow pointing down.
That is correct.
And it could mean anything, however you choose to interpret it.
There's stuff on her, on the angel face.
Yeah, is it peeling
off? Yeah.
Yeah. And so each card can mean a little something different. Together it could mean that the air in here just got a little bit warmer, and the angels have entered the space.
Okay.
So they've come down from heaven, and 7 is usually considered a very lucky number within certain metaphysical circles. So that could mean that it could mean a lot of different things. So we're feeling very lucky suddenly, and that the angels are here to help. And he did say he wanted to see my angel card deck. So that is a good card to transition from the Kanzari cards to the angel card deck.
Okay. Where should I stick these?
I can grab them.
Okay.
And
I'll think that way, folks.
Okay.
All right. It's 22 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning on Kim is a tarot card reader and a lot of other things. And mm-hmm. She's from the class of 94. Mm-hmm. And her name is Margot Jackson. Mom and Dad were Mr. and Mrs. John Jackson. Okay, I've got the deck in front of me. It's twice as big as a normal deck. It's very colorful. It has an angel in the middle. And a couple of pointy mm-hmm. things in each of her hands. And she's standing on top of Saturn or the world or something. Mm-hmm. Blue gown, golden thing, and a halo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you want me to do?
You can just pull a card, or you can shuffle, whichever you prefer.
I can't shuffle. I can. Mm-hmm. Okay. I turned it.
Yep. You can do it however you feel like pulling it, you pull it.
Okay. Well, I had to turn mm-hmm. it. It was upside down. It says Night of the Air.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about the airwaves?
It could be.
Intelligent, decisive, mm-hmm. idealistic, mm-hmm. tireless. Events that occur with great speed. Take time to carefully review your options. Creative solutions. And it's got a handsome knight on a golden horse. He's carrying a sword. It's a unicorn, excuse me. And what does that say?
Okay, so Knight of Air, intelligent, decisive, idealistic, tireless. Events that occur with great speed, take time to carefully review your options, creative solutions. So in this case, the Knight of Air is kind of a flirt. So he's getting ready to do his adventures, but he also, he knows he's tireless, but he's going to keep pursuing. And so not a good flirt in that respect. But all the same, he's going to go after what he wants, which is the good thing. You know, you are desiring something, you go after it. So in that respect, it's good. But you also want to be careful about how you're doing it so you don't get hurt in the end.
And so, if I was in your shop with the mm-hmm. music, no, there'd be no music because
no, I play a little music bit, occasionally,
of, you know, a little
yeah.
in the background, okay, and yeah. And not a very bright light, mm-hmm. and just kind of calm and relaxed. Maybe you would pull that in read that to me, mm-hmm. and then I would read into what it says and right. say, hey, this relates to me, this part, but that yeah. part doesn't.
Right.
So how many of angel cards do you pull for a reading?
With those, I'm very basic, like I said, with what I do with the Reiki layout, I would do probably three of them.
Okay.
There are other times, though, where I'll do, like, the Archangel Raphael, I'll pull.
He doesn't
want me touching cards.
I want you to do three of these angels.
Okay.
Here's the second one.
Okay.
How it applies.
The Knight of Water. Ooh, we've got a lot of knights getting ready for battles here. Where that one was talking about creativity, I believe, and whatnot. This one is talking about emotional, romantic, enthusiastic, and falling in love or wedding proposals, the need to balance emotions. An invitation to a social event. So in this case, you know, he is riding a dolphin. So he is definitely taking that water and going.
Okay. Now, this is all supposed to relate to me because of the order of the cards. Is that correct?
Since we are going that direction, yes.
Well,
otherwise, it could have been anybody that was listening.
Well, yeah. You're doing it with me.
Yes.
Here's another one.
Okay. Page of Water. Intuitive, sensitive, artistic, friendly. I would say that describes you.
I'm not artistic.
But you are intuitive, and you have been sensitive since we started talking. So I would say, you know, and you're artistic just from, and friendly from what you do with this. I mean, this is an art form running a radio show. So at the bottom it says, a new person enters your life. A relationship begins, a new phase, heightened psychic abilities.
And what does that mean?
It could mean a lot of different things. I would say that obviously if somebody has entered your life, you might be the intuitiveness and the sensitive part would be the heightened psychic abilities where you're kind of in tuned with them a little bit more than you expected to be. And, you know, say the Ghost Whisperer TV show and the Mentalist TV show, combine them into one. Because a lot of people don't realize how much they study people's mannerisms. So just by studying someone's mannerisms, you sometimes have a better feel of what they're really thinking or doing. And that kind of borderline makes it psychic in its own way. I don't know how else to explain it, but that would be the way I could think of it.
Okay, well, this is why I invited you to, you know, you're mm-hmm. You're the expert. You have the thought, the feelings, and you deliver the message. And,
yes.
and whether I or anyone else wants mm-hmm. to believe it or not believe it mm-hmm. is up to us.
Yeah.
And so it can be very healing or it could be, hey, let's go have a good laugh,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, what do you call that thing? Oh, by the way, you looked up the...
Yes,
I want to
thank
thing.
Dustin Anderson for messaging me. He clarified that it's called a growler.
Yes, and so. Once you said that, I went, oh,
yeah,
why
so
couldn't I remember that? For
I had the
loud.
V8 moment, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I like that. Okay.
I'll date myself.
Yeah, but I liked it.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 46.1 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get into, I'd like to get into this stuff next. And then if we have more time, we can do more cards, okay?
Yeah.
Sounds like a winner. Margot Jackson, my guest.
If you need to send a box far away or something overnight, want a cool sign for your business or a banner for your birthday, and you don't know how to do it, we'll help you through it at the Graphic Mailbox. You can make copies, get supplies, find a box, ship a box, buy stamps, fax a letter, get your mail, send your mail, make a sign, design a sign, fix a sticker, print a poster, FedEx, DHL, UPS, Speedy, or even through the U.S. mail. If you don't know how to do it, we'll help you through it at the Graphic Mailbox.
I like that jingle. They did a wonderful job. Thank you. A fascinating tale of seduction, murder, fraud, coercion, and the trial of the Minneapolis Monster. Terry Knight's guest today is Sean Francis Peters, author of The Infamous Harry Hayward, a true account of murder and mesmerism in gilded-aged Minneapolis. At nearly every turn of the page, there are landmarks that nearly every Minnesotan knows. This was the crime of the century in 1894, and newspaper journalists from all over the country came to report on the seven-week trial. Listen in this morning at 11 o'clock, 15 with the author, KYMN's own Terry Knight.
Since 1876, Wanamingo Mutual has proudly offered fire, wind, auto, liability, and commercial insurance. Wanamingo Mutual Insurance Company would like to take this time to salute the area dairy farmers, their hard work, and the products they provide our families during National Dairy Month.
The whispers in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
Of love and sleep.
Come on, 1994.
Rolling by
Margo Jackson, you have to use that microphone.
Sorry, folks, I'm just laughing over here. I realize I'm so much more, like, I know this is the year I graduated, but I am a 1980s kid. I like my 80s grunge.
Well, this sounds familiar. Was number four.
Oh, yeah, no, it totally sounds familiar. I just can't.
In 1994.
Celine Dion?
Yes, you got that correct.
No idea the name of the song. I'm sorry.
You should know.
This is the entertaining portion.
It's called...
Cause I'm your lady.
Oh, Lord.
Called The Power of Love.
Oh, okay. Lots of love ballads for that year.
It's at 10:31 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. 1080 on your AM dial and making you feel at home here, Margo. Now, we're going to have a picture taken. Well, let me turn this around.
Got to do this before I remember. I'm doing
it. All right. Are you ready? There you go.
Yeah.
Did it work?
I'm going to get you now.
Okay, should I smile this time?
Yes.
Okay, I'll have, I'd like to have 2 8.5 by 11.5 grainy color, please.
You got it.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. We have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have a whole bunch of decks of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is interesting to me is, are the cards on the hanky go with the whole thing?
At this time, yes. This
okay.
is kind of
going
similar to...
Going clockwise. Are you going to start at... At noon, are you going to start at 6? Are you going to start at 3?
Start at 11 o'clock and go counterclockwise.
Okay.
Because that's kind of how I do it when I'm doing Reiki. So what happens before I actually do the laying of hands with the energy healing is I will put this grid together and, as kind of earlier described, the clear quartz crystals are at different points. There's 6 of them that all point to the center of the cloth. And then at the center of the cloth is what I refer to as a wand, but it's a smoky quartz crystal, which is supposed to help with psychic intuition and also help bring more energy into the space. I will then do some Reiki symbols to help bring more power and more energy into the space. And then I'll go through the cards and start laying them out. And in this case, I've been doing it slowly while we've been talking for the last hour and a half. So I did an Archangel Raphael card earlier, and I left it out for the yes card. And then I pulled out my tarot deck for the cat cards and pulled out 3 of those. And they're down at the 7 to 5 o'clock space. And one is 10 of Earth, and it's got 10 cats just laying around and hanging out, one in a box, because you know how cats are. They like their boxes. A couple of them are in a bird bath. 2 of them are in a hanging basket and such. And then the second card is a cat looking out the window at the world, and it is the world card. So it gives you a little bit of thought perspective of what's out there, what am I thinking about, and then the... So this is kind of a past, present, future reading in itself. The last card is Good Kitty. And the Good Kitty is just letting you know that everything's going to come out well and good and, you know, what have you. I do not consider myself a tarot expert. I just this is how I do things with Reiki, and Wayne happened to learn about it, so that's why we're here. And then off to the 4 o'clock, I've got some extra stones. One is a green malachite, and then the other is a lapis. And a malachite stone is known for its healing properties. It helps lessen pain, and that sort of thing. I'm not a crystal healer. Those people, do exist. I just got kind of a strange look from Wayne. He's like, what? So, I work with energy directly, but I happen to know what some stones do, and I've got friends who are crystal energy healers, and they do crystal healing using crystals on your chakras to help heal, and it's also a form of energy, which is why I threw the word energy into the title. A lapis is known for helping out with throat problems, so if you've got a thyroid issue, maybe wear a lapis around your neck to help ease the pain, that sort of thing. I also have a pendulum that eventually Wayne will probably see me just hold it and it'll spin on its own because it does that with me. And then earlier we were talking about the hand of protection. I have a stone or a wood grid of that with 7 chakra stones for the 7 major chakras. People are going, there's more than 7? We are discovering as we progress with Reiki, those who study it more in depth, that there are more chakras than we realize.
Can I come in here?
Absolutely.
Reiki, once again, yep. Is what?
Energy healing.
Okay.
Yep.
If you want to go further on Reiki, go ahead, because I'm not working it out yet. Okay.
Reiki was founded by a gentleman by the name of Yusui, and he is Japanese. There is also Reiki energy healing from India, and another friend of mine happens to be studying Buddhism Reiki. It's supposedly because of the energy within Buddhism, it's supposed to be some of the strongest Reiki out there, but I think it's all up to the Reiki master and how they use it personally.
So Reiki is energy.
Yes. Universal energy that's all around
you. Okay. And then what are chakra? How do you spell
chakra? Chakra. C-H-A-R-K-A.
Okay.
Spelling bee time.
what does chakra mean? I don't even...
Chakra is the way I relate to it, and the best way for me to describe it is the chakras are the latitude and longitudes within your body, and they're the 7 major spots. So the... As an example, I'm going to hold up the red one for Wayne to see. Sorry, guys. The red one is a symbol, the red color is a symbol of the lower chakra, which would be your hips, the grounding chakra. So red, earth, clay, that kind of thing. The orange one is your sacral chakra. What I would say for this one is it's the parts that make you who you are, whether you're male or female, what you were born with doesn't matter, but it's it's what makes you who you are. So when you're feeling down and out and like you don't feel very feminine and you want to feel feminine again, maybe start focusing on your sacral chakra and meditating about that and clearing the energy from it, that kind of thing. Because there's times where I'm such a tomboy, I forget to, be ladylike, so I can use that as the example. The solar chakra would be your digestive system, which is actually a really good comparison. Because your digestive system brings everything nutrient-wise, just like the sun does, solar. So your solar chakra is that middle ground of the chakras. The green chakra is your heart chakra. So, it not just symbolism-wise, but physical, too. As I said earlier with the lapis, the blue is the color for your throat. Purple is the color for the third eye. And then the white one, although in most design charts you're going to have dark blue, light blue, purple, but with chakra stones it goes the route that I'm going with the purple and then the white. And the white is your crown chakra, which would be the equivalent to your skin and protecting that way. A couple of them can all work together. Like your blood isn't just part of your heart. It's part of your crown, and it's also part of the digestive system and what have you. So a lot of them do work together, and sometimes they get misaligned and can cause you physical ailments. I actually, ironically enough, got into doing Reiki because my doctor from Northfield, noticed how I was as a child. I was very intuitive. I'd come in with strep throat, and he'd be like, okay, what's been going on? I'd be like, well, I got picked on yesterday, and I didn't know how to fight back, so I physically caused myself to physically not be able to speak anymore. And he'd say, okay, well, since you know what's going on, what can you do about that to, you know, heal that doesn't involve medicine? Because that's the other thing, is I have, you know, like a lot of families, there's addiction that runs in the family, whether it's alcoholism or drugs or what have you. And so I was very acutely aware of that as a child, and I didn't like drugs. And so here's a physician at the clinic saying, well, what kind of meditation should I, you know, get you to go to the store to buy, or, you know, that sort of thing, you know, and, you know, I'd still get the drugs needed, but what can I do to further fix myself? And years later, this is about 5 years ago, this particular doctor and I were talking. He now works down in Florida at the Mayo Clinic down there. And we were talking, and he's like, why didn't you ever become a Reiki master? You'd be so good at this. And I was like, a doctor telling me I should become a Reiki master? There's something to this. And I was just at a crucial point in my life where I needed to change a bunch of stuff. And that happened to be one of those things. And it's something I've always been able to do. When I come back on the show in a few months, you guys will learn that a lot of my roommates were people who were sick, and they all, a lot of them credit me with helping them heal. So it's just a natural gift of mine. But I happen to now have it focused and honed and be certified in it. And so within the cards that I do, it helps me see more of what's going on with the body. Some of my friends within my community that I work in tell me that I'm a medical intuitive, because I can sometimes look at people and say, you've got a black spot on your shoulder. What's going on there? And it just might be that they have some nerve pain or some arthritis. You know, I was able to look at a friend of mine 20 years ago and say, that growth is actually cancerous, I think. And she went and found out within 2 weeks that she had cancer, and she survived it. But she credits me with getting her to go to the doctor and get that taken care of. So it just, it varies. But that's why I like having the stones available. So if I'm doing a distance session, I can hold on to each of those areas and keep them protected, especially because that particular hand is designed for protection. And then when you get up to the 2 o'clock point on this grid. I'm going backwards now. Yes.
I got a question.
Yes.
Now, do you hold those stones in a little leather sack and shake them up and then pull them out one at a time and go through the explanation? Or do you do three for $1 and seven for $5? Or, I mean, do you use them
all? I know
what
you're saying.
Yeah.
I do use them all most of the time. But what I do is I'll hold one at a time and focus in on that chakra on that person.
Okay.
And meditate or go into the zone of healing, whatever term you want to use. I've learned that there's so many universal terms for it that sometimes I offend people with certain things and sometimes I don't. So I try to be very neutral would be the word.
Okay.
And every Reiki master I've ever met does it completely differently than every other Reiki master I've ever met. So each one of us are different and unique in our own ways. I've been told I'm one of the only ones who use tarot cards in what I do.
18 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN, my guest this morning is Margot Jackson. And I'm going to ask you a question here. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you had in your family, drug problems or alcoholism. And we mentioned your mom and dad and sisters on many occasions.
Yeah.
So are people out there going, oh, I wonder which one?
Yeah. Nope, it's none of those guys.
Okay.
It's grandparents that, you know, going back ancestrally.
Okay.
So thank you for helping me clear that up. I appreciate that.
All right. You did say in family,
yes,
but
I
just wanted to be your
immediate
family.
Line. No, not immediate.
Okay, let's see where we're at. We're at, okay, we can continue. We only have 16 minutes left. Mm-hmm. We have the stones and the cards, so you got a lot to go here. So let's.
And then the last card I pulled was actually from my Greenwich tarot deck, which Wayne hasn't looked through yet. And it's the Six of Anthems, and it's a guide with his horse crossing the river. And the river is very calm. There's a tree growing on one side and flowers on the other side. And they're just, you know, it's just a gentle crossing.
Well, it looks like the Jewish star.
Yes, yes. That is the nice thing, is the Star of David is actually a star that is through all religions. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the symbols for the heart chakra within Reiki practice.
Yeah,
and it's known as the star for the Star of Bethlehem. It's the Star of David with Judaism. And I've, you know, and then in Wicca, it's their feminine masculine combination. So it's the star for them too.
Well, one thing I have to say, the cards are very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And very pretty and nice to look at. Okay, you picked that card. Now, mm-hmm. are you doing a reading on me right now?
Nope.
Nope. Okay,
I've
just
been doing a general one and
you're
explaining.
You're explaining things.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I have not done one on Wayne yet.
No. Well, what are we going to next?
Well, I was going to say this is just the general layout, and then what I usually do is with a distance session, I would then work on the client, as I said, holding each of those stones that I went through a few minutes ago, and then after the session, I take a picture of each card or each set of cards, depending, because sometimes I'll pull a different set or, you know, what have you. And I take a picture of the grid, just like I did earlier when Wayne was telling you guys I was taking pictures. And then I'll meditate about it afterwards, because I don't even research these cards or look at what they really mean until after the session. And then when I'm done with the Reiki session, after I've seen everything I saw through each chakra, I start seeing the connections within the cards and say, this is what the cards mean, and then this is what I saw. I see the relation, so there's something going on here that you really need to work on. So they get like a 4 or 5 picture scenario, as well as a 2 or 3 page write-up about what they saw or what I saw and what was going on. And I usually get feedback going, wow, you were really spot on. You know, my thyroid really needed some help today. Or, you know, maybe it was their sacral because they forgot about how precious they are to this living earth.
You know, you can do no harm because of all of the positive positive roads you can take to improve yourself, so you can't do wrong.
Right.
You only can do right, and it's a power of suggestion by using the various instruments that you have. Am I doing okay?
Yes, you are.
Comprehending?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm anxious about that thing in the middle and the stuff around it.
So the stone?
Yeah.
So what I usually do with this, if you're in person, I sometimes don't even do this grid setup for in person, because sometimes I feel like I just need to just get my hands and, you know, start working. So in that respect, I would sometimes do nothing with this, and other times I might lay it on them, whether it's on their stomach area. Each person approaches their client differently, and each client differently within that. I have a tendency to go straight to the solar chakra to help that, because I see the sun rising within each one. So, yeah, it would be the stomach area, the digestive system. And then I usually get pulled down to the sacral and then down to the ground, the root chakra, the grounding chakra. And then I work back through the first three that I just mentioned, and then work up from the heart up to the crown. A lot of times with the crown chakra, I see a white blanket as they're floating through space and time, covering them and protecting them. But each person, like I said, is different, but that one almost always comes to being with the, you know, universal, this pendulum. He wants to see the pendulum. So I believe the stone is called carnelian. And I'm not moving my hand, and the stone is moving itself. It's going circular, and it's picking up speed.
And clockwise.
Yep. And let's see.
No, it's going counterclockwise.
Yeah. Oh, here. Has Wayne Eddy been enjoying the show? That's telling me yes.
Oh, because it's going back and forth, towards us and you? Okay.
Show me no. Keep in mind, I haven't moved my hands once, folks.
No. If I was holding that
thing. No, you might find out. Go ahead.
I don't. My hands shake.
Okay.
I don't think it's because of age. It's that you scare me.
Oh.
No. No, it's because of age.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see how my hand.
Yeah, it's shaking a little bit, but it's responding to you.
Mine just was up and down. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
So, is this what you use in hypnotism then?
Some people do. Okay. I don't do hypnotism, but I do know some people who use this sort of thing in hypnotism. So, yeah, each person's different.
So, I'm going to take a final break before the 11 o'clock hour. And while I'm doing that, and it's going to be very brief, I'm going to ask you... What does all this mean? Did you come up with one final thing? Was it for me? Was it for the listeners? Was it for everybody? Just what did you derive out of the various cards that you pulled, I pulled, and the crystals and not crystals, but all those neat rocks and stuff?
I had a lot of people's names going through my head, so I think it was for everybody.
All right. We'll be back in a flash with some more.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Affordable living could be yours at Northfield Manor. Located on the campus of the Northfield Retirement Community, the Manor offers HUD-supported one-bedroom apartments for seniors age 62 and older or for persons with a disability. If your annual income is less than $43,750 per year, you could qualify. Northfield Manor tenants enjoy all the amenities that the Northfield Retirement Community Campus has to offer. For more information, call 507-650-7332 today. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
The Quarterback Club in Northfield serves the best flame-broiled burgers, baby back ribs, and chicken in Northfield. They also have daily specials that are sure to satisfy. Every meal is made to order, and you can dine in or take out. For daily specials, quality food, and great prices, make it the Quarterback Club in Northfield.
Well, I got to ask you right now, young lady, Miss Margot Jackson, you say you're an 80s girl.
Yeah.
Okay, but I've been playing music from the year you graduated from Northfield High School.
Which is fine. I like 90s music, too.
1994.
Yeah.
I'm generally afraid to play anything past 1990 because of the vulgarity that's been introduced, and all of my top 10 hits are not radio edits. So I'm going to play the number one song.
Okay.
All of 1994, top Billboard Pop 100.
Okay.
This was it, the year you graduated from Northfield High School. In Memorial Field, if I remember correctly, over on West 7th Street. And the parent speaker was Donald Pavic. And you knew his son, Dale.
Yes.
All right. Name this tune. Number one, all of 1994. What are you laughing about?
I know the tune, but I can't think of the words or even... Oh, yeah. I'm horrible at my own graduation year.
Well, believe it or not, this group had the number 9 and number 10 song.
Oh, jeez.
That's how big they were.
Okay. I know the lyrics.
Okay, I'm going to give you the top 10 tunes, all right?
Okay.
Ace of Base and Ace of Base, Don't Turn Around, 10. 9, Ace of Base, All That She Wants. Number 8, Bryan Adams, Sting, Rod Stewart, For All For Love. Number 7, Toni Braxton and Breathe Again. Are these familiar?
Yes.
Okay. Number 6, Lisa Loeb and Stay. Gotta nod your head and let me know. Okay.
Yep.
R. Kelly, Bump and Grind.
Wow.
That one isn't familiar?
I was into like R.E.M. and Green Day and those guys in the 90s and a little bit in the 80s, obviously, with R.E.M. So some of those, like, I'd recognize them if I heard them on the radio.
Okay.
But, yeah, I was kind of a punk kid.
You did get Celine Dion and The Power of Love, number four.
Yeah.
Number three, Boys to Men,
mm-hmm.
I'll Make Love to You.
Oh, jeez.
And number two, All for One,
mm-hmm.
and I Swear.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
This is the number one song.
I saw the sign.
That's correct.
Ooh, yay.
Yeah, you. Ace of Base. Mm-hmm. They had number 10, number 9, and number 1 of all 94. That's pretty
good.
Wow,
that is.
The Beatles of the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, not the sound, but, the success. All right, it's 6 minutes before 11 o'clock, young lady. And I see you're wrapping up your handkerchief. And you
thought
got
I'd clean
your,
up a little bit.
Your little hand with the stones on it, and all the other cards are all in a nice deck. Yeah. You actually have a little carrying kit.
I do, yeah. I usually, if I'm just going from client to client, it's just a wicker basket that I use, but because I knew I was coming on the show, I wanted to bring everything so that we could talk a little bit more. Maybe next time I'm here, we can talk about comparing cards and that sort
of
thing.
What do you think ended up in regards to having, let's pretend I was your client, mm-hmm. now I owe you $50 or $150 mm-hmm. bucks. What did you derive from the cards I pulled?
The ones you pulled, I would say, I'm trying to remember everything now. 2 hours goes by quick, folks. I would say that everything you pulled was pretty accurate for, like, the cards you wanted, to represent for the military. The cards that you were interested in for Angel, they all seem to resonate really well, with what I remember and know of Angel currently, as well as what I knew of her in the past. And cards that you pulled for yourself or cards that, you know, what I saw, I would say everything's going smoothly for you.
And the ones that I pulled for me, they were great.
Yeah, yeah, I liked them.
I think you'd like any card that you pulled.
I would hope so.
A little cautionary advice, but basically you're not going to feel like a bum when you walk out of
there. Right,
You're going to feel good about yourself.
The one thing I will say, if you do decide to do tarot reading, whether for yourself or for other people, but mostly for yourself, because a lot of tarot readers who do it publicly do it for themselves too, is that if you're going to go down that path, keep in mind that it's really there to help you see what you already know. It's just you don't always want to admit to it.
Okay.
And so it's just kind of like a duh, like your parent trying to tell you, but without the judgment that a parent can bring to it.
Okay. Very well put. Do you make a living at this?
Not with tarot, because I choose not to, but with Reiki, yes. And I'm also a reflexologist as well. So that's what I do.
Is that you sell the medicine for reflux?
Reflexology is the was founded by Eunice Ingham, who is known as the mother of reflexology, but she took what people do with acupressure. So for those of you who know what acupuncture is, but are like, what's acupressure? It's the same thing, just without the needles. And Eunice Ingham came up with a massage system that works on the hands, feet, and ears, but mostly the hands and feet. And it helps relax the entire body, because there's reflective points within the nervous system in your hands and feet that connect to everywhere else.
You know, I believe...
Eastern medicine.
I believe that... what do you call it when they stick needles in you?
Mm-hmm. Puncture.
Acupin cushion or something like that.
Acupuncture.
Anyhow, I believe that helps people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the pressure points help people.
Mm-hmm.
And this has gone back for...
centuries. Earliest documentation they have for reflexology is actually a doctor in Egypt. His Egyptian tomb shows him working on patients doing reflexology. And Reiki goes back many centuries as well. Current day times, Reiki is actually used a lot with cancer patients, because it helps clear all the ick from all the chemo and radiation, and allows the good parts of chemo and radiation to actually do the job they need to do. So if you're at a hospital and you have to go once a week or twice a month or whatever to get yourself taken care of, they might have a volunteer Reiki master who's there to help cleanse things out, while the drugs do their work. So that's actually getting more and more common. A lot of the baby boomer generation asks for them nowadays.
Well, the next time you come back, what I want to do more than tarot is, I mean, you've mentioned so many places you've been, so many things that you've done, and so many experiences you've had, positive, negative, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it will be fun to just say, well, you were born here, and your mom and dad raised you and your two sisters, both 2 years older than you adopted, John Jackson, and your mom was, what's her first
Georgie, name? She was the teacher at St. Dominic's fifth grade. So.
And so I'd like to hear about after 94, where you went, what you did, the ups and the downs, because it looks like you've led a full life that has been empty on occasion.
Yeah.
How'd that a good way of defining it?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It is. It's a very good way. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the childhood I had. I loved being raised here. I love the community. I love coming back. So even if there's been some stuff I've referenced with a bit of a just ignore it, because you know what? I'm a better person for it. I'm one of those people that, even though I did get bullied, everybody gets bullied at some point or another in their life, but I made a much better choice by choosing to become a better person and to see what I could do to maintain that. And I mean, I know I probably lied a little bit to get through some stuff when I was a kid just to, you know, to protect myself. But at the same time, I looked back at that and I said, you know what? I got to stop doing that. I'm going to do this instead. And, you know, I look back at what those kids did and I say, you know what? I'm actually grateful for it because I wouldn't be who I am today without them. So, which is a weird twist for some folks.
Did you quit wearing black lipstick?
I actually never did goth thing. However, when I lived in North Carolina, because I wore black nail polish and wore a lot of black clothing, I was considered goth, but I never really went that way.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the next time you're in town. And where are you off to now?
I'm headed over to the Rolvag house, actually, to have lunch with Keith Homestead. I'm very excited about it. I haven't seen him in a few years.
I haven't seen him either for a few years.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Say hello to him.
I will.
My wife wears some of his former jewelry store products.